We continue our Freedom Friday series this morning with another area veteran. Dave Hancock of Atlantic joins us here this morning. Dave, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Appreciate it very much. Dave is a career Air Force guy. How did you ever get into the Air Force in the first place?
Well, when I was going to Iowa State University, I was in ROTC, and then, of course, you incur a commitment, you know, when you graduate. And so I was commissioned as a second lieutenant in June of 54 and was called in to active duty in January of 55. And so that's how I got in the Air Force. My first station was at Chanute Air Force Base, Illinois, which is now closed.
When you joined the ROTC in the first place, was that a way to help pay for college?
Well, yes, actually it was. We were paid the grand sum of $70 a month, as I remember, to go. And at that time, tuition was $200 a quarter, which tells you a little bit about how things have changed. And so, yes, it was. And then also, I thought it would be interesting, and so I had two reasons, I guess.
Sure. Well, at what point, Dave, did you decide to make the Air Force a career?
Well, when I came in January of 55, I was assigned to a squadron. I had some good officers that I worked for, and it was kind of interesting. And we were there for about a year and a half, and then got orders for Japan, and So we were transferred to Japan, and one of the older officers there, at the meantime, I had done pretty well, and so they offered me a regular commission, and that's kind of the decision point where you decide, well, am I going to make this a career or not? And I decided that I liked it, and I thought it would be a good career, and so I accepted the regular commission and made the decision about probably 18 months or so after I got in.
And off you went.
Yep, off I went.
Was your family supportive of your decision?
Yes, they were. At that time, I had one daughter, and my wife was very supportive of whatever we decided to do. Originally, I was going into farming with my dad, but that changed when I was in the Air Force.
But he was supportive of all that.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Is there a family history of military service?
Not a consecutive history. My great-grandpa, William Hancock, was in the Civil War. He's buried here in Atlantic, and in fact, his name is on the Soldiers' Monument there in the City Park, which we rededicated. I'm a member of the Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War, local Camp 23, and we rededicated that, and it was kind of a special thing since my great-grandpa's name is on the monument.
I bet it was. Well, talk a little bit about your service. You mentioned Japan. You saw some time overseas.
Yes, we went to Japan in 56, and our first place in Japan was in Nagoya, which was kind of interesting. It was 10 years after the end of World War II, and there was still in Nagoya a Mitsubishi aircraft factory, which had just been really bombed to pieces during the war. And for whatever reason, they had left that just the way it was with, the big concrete buildings with monstrous holes in them and everything. And interestingly, there was a great big wide street in Nagoya where most of the streets were little either dirt or gravel or very little small things. But here was this great big old wide cement street in Nagoya, and they told us that was where they took the airplanes out to take off from the Mitsubishi factory to deliver them to the air bases. So that was kind of interesting.
You also spent time in Taiwan and Vietnam during
yes.
your tours?
And let me mention that when I was in Japan, then they moved us from Nagoya up to near Tokyo, Fuchu, and my youngest daughter then was born in Japan at the Tachikawa Hospital.
Good.
And then my next overseas tour was in Taiwan. That was in the 60s, the mid-60s. And we were at Taipei, which is the capital of Taiwan. At that time, it was still in the UN, and it was still called the Republic of China, even though, I can't remember his name, had pushed them out of the mainland. And Chiang Kai-shek was running the what they called the Republic of China, which was kind of interesting. We administered the foreign aid program at that time as part of the Air Force mission.
Sure. 26 years of Air Force service, and did you ever fly a plane?
I never flew one myself, but I have flown all over the world. Being in the logistics business, when I was at Dover, for example, I was responsible for all of the support activities in Europe, and that supported our aircraft as they did their missions through Europe. And so I would jump on the C-141 or the C-5 and make the tour all around through Europe to check on our support activities there, which is...
Well, people think of Air Force, they immediately start thinking about the guys who fly planes, but I suppose for every guy that flies a plane, there are a bunch of people behind them making sure everything else goes well.
Exactly. It takes a huge, huge support structure. People you don't even think about is required to keep the airplanes in the air and the crews supported the way they need to be.
Well, and a lot of responsibility there, too. You attain the rank of colonel, so you're in charge of folks. You're in charge of operations. There's a lot of coordination that goes on.
Yeah, there certainly is. When I was retired, and I was at Norton in 1980, and I'm jumping here, but I was the deputy commander for resource management, or logistics, as we call it, at that time. And I had several activities under me.
You bet. Why'd you make the decision to leave after 26 years?
Actually, the decision wasn't really made for me, but the opportunity came up. I was at Norton, and I got a call from the Los Angeles County personnel people, and they were looking for someone to head up a new materials management program in the Los Angeles County Medical Center, which is a complex of four hospitals there. And so they asked, my name had been given to them by someone who knew about me, I guess. And so they asked me if I would be interested in applying for this new position. And obviously I was still on active duty. So I told them it would take a while, and they said that would be okay. So I went down and applied, and through a series of of interviews, I was selected. And so then I put in my papers and retired from the Air Force in December 31st of 1980, and went to work for the county on the 2nd of February of 81. So I had a 3-day break.
it's nice to get a couple of days off. Huh? Well, it's nice to see that, too. You know, so many guys that we've talked to, sometimes they get into their military service, and what they do after that, when they get out of the military and get into their private lives again, it just doesn't, sometimes, you know, it doesn't parlay one from the other. But you were able to take the skills and things that you learned and turn that into something that worked out real well for you afterward.
Yeah, exactly. And then after I was in there, then I, over a series of years, I moved into other positions and wound up in administration in the hospital before I retired. I was the acting CEO at that time. Then I stayed on afterwards and worked, after I retired from the county, I stayed on and worked with FEMA and the state emergency services people as an aftermath of the Northridge earthquake, which had damaged some of our hospitals.
Sure. How did your family end up back here in Atlantic?
So anyway, in 2002, we originally grew up here, so we just were, my wife and I kept talking about it, and even though we had a daughter there in California, we decided we'd just go back home, and so we picked up and moved back to Atlantic. I was an original Wyota High School graduate, and Phyllis was a Atlantic High School graduate, and so we'd come back home. And we're glad we did. It's a nice place to live.
Growing up on a farm here in the rural areas of Cass County and attending Wyota High School, that's a lot of a lifetime adventure for a small-town kid.
Yeah, I guess I have to mention also the part of that adventure was Vietnam. My job in Vietnam was as the advisor to the chief of supply for the Vietnamese Air Force, and we were stationed at Saigon. A friend of mine that lived there also on Saigon was the chief of the helicopter unit, Army helicopter unit, and I had to, of course, visit all of the Vietnamese bases on a regular basis and so forth, and the forward operating bases in some cases. So he took me all over Vietnam in the Army helicopter, and that was really an experience. We would fly right on the treetop level, so you'd be there and gone before anybody could do you any damage, and it was interesting.
Well, a young Iowa State student joins ROTC and eventually into the Air Force and then makes a decision to make it a career. That decision the young man made turned into a pretty good one,
huh? Yeah, I really did. I've had a good career and a good life. I don't regret any of it, really. Just the way it turned out, and it turned out quite well, really.
Very good. Well, we're glad you made that decision, and we're glad it worked out well for you, because we know it all works out well for us when folks make that decision to make that sacrifice, Dave. We salute you for your service. Thanks a lot for your time here today as well, and best of luck to you and your family.
Thank you, Jim.